that's backing regional countries, Osman Bakash, like Qatar, who is running these covert desert training camps for the Syrian rebels to fight the Syrian government here. Again, that's you know, based on a report that came out last week. Who is the Western powers you're talking about?
The after the collapse of the Khilafah back in 1924, and according to the Treaty of Sykes-Picot, the Western colonial power, back then France and Britain, they partitioned the Muslim land and created this statelet and supported various types of dictatorship in Pakistan, in Yemen, in Syria, in Iraq, in Egypt, and so on. And the West imposed the secular political order. And all of these regimes have resorted to brutal police state, whether in Iraq, Syria, Libya, and so on and so forth.
Oh, now, okay, and the Islamic Ummah, State isn't
Muslim
a police
nation
state.
Has come,
the Islamic State is a police state. These extremist groups, one second, let me speak. These extremist groups, the radical groups, they have police forces, they have extremist jihadist fighters coming from
West. I'm not talking about ISIS.
You have al-Nusra Front.
ISIS came to the scene in April 2013. Ahrar al-Sham and others, they are demanding to live according to Islam. They are asking to live according to the Islamic way of life. Now, you know,
what you're advocating is militant Islam, a takfiri version of militant Islam.
No, hold it there, hold it. We have nothing called takfiri. We are advocating for Muslims to live according to the Islamic way of life, and do not blend me under different titles, ISIS or Ahrar al-Sham or Nusra, whatever. We are Muslims. We have the right and the duty to live according to Islam as a way of life.
I take your point.
Christian or Muslim, they are welcome to be. They have lived with us. They have lived with us for centuries. And I take your point.
But at the end of the day, what we are discussing now is Syria, which is one of the most ethnically homogeneous and diverse countries in the whole of the Arab world, where you have populations of Christians and Jews.
They're leaving. This is not an issue. Danny, you are commenting on the tiny part, which is ISIS. I'm not defending ISIS.
No, not necessarily. You say that you're against the US. You say that you're against the US. Then why is it that lots of groups from the so-called moderate Syrian rebels are receiving US TOW missiles? Why is it they're receiving US missiles and weapons and ammunition and fighting even Islamist groups and the Syrian government at the same time?
I said we are
against
Hazem
and Syrian Revolutionary Front. These are groups taking US weapons.
Okay, I can see where we're going with this.
I know, I'm saying we are against, but equally so, the Syrian regime has been supported by the American and the Iranian and the Russian. And the Syrian regime is now, today in the news, the Syrian regime have passed 600 locations to the American Air Force to strike inside Syria. Again,
That's something which is positive, because it's fighting terrorism inside of Syria. Whereas you're comparing a state which has allies and a state which has sovereignty, you're comparing that to militant groups who you say should have an Islamic state. You say that they should be against colonialism and Sykes-Picot. When some of these individual militant groups that you're discussing, many of them already have Qatari and Gulf finance and funding. Many of them are foreign jihadists who have come from Europe. Many of them have American weapons. You could argue why Hazem now is a US-backed group and has TOW missiles,
Danny, which is fighting the Syrian government. Now, Danny, yes. Let's not forget.
Look,
how about the massive campaign of terror campaign launched by the Syrian government? You cannot overlook that. The barrel bomb, the blind barrel. What is barrel bomb? It doesn't have any guidance. It whatever its path, it destroys it.
Okay. You could argue that the mortar attacks. Mr. Bakash, one second. You could argue that the mortar attacks which occur in Damascus on a day-to-day basis, they're equally as crude as barrel bombs. They kill as many people as barrel bombs. When you have highly built-up residential areas in Damascus and Aleppo, when they're attacked with gas cannons, which are filled with explosives, this is equally as crude. Why don't you mention them? But this is the problem that human rights groups, they don't mention these mortar attacks.
This was a statement.
They only mention these so-called barrel bombs.
You must
one
have
second.
Heard.
You
must
talking
have heard about the statement by Farouk Sharia. Farouk Sharia, the vice president. Farouk Sharia, the vice president of Bashar Assad, he
former,
said that for 6 months, back in 2011, but back in 2011,
former
the uprising started in March. It was peaceful. The uprising started in March 2011. It was very peaceful. And he said for several months, the Syrian security forces tried to find armed protesters. They didn't find any. The militarization
did not start as a peaceful revolution. And the very fact that it's not a peaceful revolution is the fact that you have ISIS now and al-Nusra Front in these extremist, dangerous jihadist groups. If it was peaceful from the start, these groups
Danny,
would not be
Danny,
in Syria
have,
at this current moment
regime,
in time.
When you have the regime butchering the people...
Look.
When the regime is butchering the people, what do you expect
you
them
have
to
have
do?
Look, Mr. Bakash, where you're getting it wrong is that you fail to comprehend that now is we have a new situation in Syria where the sole problem is counter-terrorism, where there is now initiatives for a political solution on the ground, a Russian-led initiative with Iranian and American backing.
I got to jump in here. I'm sorry. We got to listen to some of your comments. Hold on to your thoughts, Osman Bakash. Hold on to your thoughts, Danny Mackey, you also. Let's take a listen to some of the viewer comments, and we come back to the debate. Let's take a listen to them.
Most of the insurgents have either been killed or surrendered, and the rest of them were pushed aside by ISIS. Therefore, he or the entire so-called opposition have no power to end the crisis which they created, or anything else for that matter. It takes a miracle that the Syrian nation forgives or forgets what these puppets did to their beautiful country. The U-turn is good news and will lead to a peaceful solution. Syrians have suffered a lot and deserve a rest. Let there be reconciliation between the warring parties. All foreigners should be chased out of Syria. Ahmad Muaz al-Khatib is personally no longer required to the West, USA and Zionist. Anything that has the possibility of bringing peace and stability to the country should be examined carefully. God bless Syria. There should be further talks with the government. They should just surrender peacefully and drop their arms. They decided to stay away. Now they are tired. They should seek pardon, not talk. He is getting weak and his existence got marginalized in the wake of ISIS. He is trying to maintain his identity and to gain some time for the next strike. He should be tried in Syrian courts as a traitor. Ahmad Muaz al-Khatib realizes Assad can't be defeated. The West and the USA would soon be forced to acknowledge the legitimacy of Assad's administration, as is the case with Palestine.
Yeah, some of the viewer comments there. And I think the last one hits the nail. And I'd like to ask you, Danny Mackey, this particular guest saying that Ahmad Muaz al-Khatib realizing Assad can't be defeated. We have news also that some of these terrorists on the ground have come to accept that Assad... the departure cannot be a precondition for talks. And it is even said that some of these backers of these terrorists, including Saudi Arabia, have reached that same conclusion. If you agree with that premise, then what's next?
Yeah, I mean, what has essentially happened is now people are faced with a reality check. It's impossible for the Syrian government to be ousted at this current moment in time with the state of affairs on the ground. And the legitimacy of the Syrian government is increasing with every passing day. The fight against ISIS has helped in this, but the fact that the insurgency has lacked the momentum which it initially began its fight with is very important, because the Syrian government now is in a position which is much stronger, much more powerful. It is in position to call the shots more than it was before. And more of the groups on the ground are becoming more extremist, more radicalized, and more potent in terms of attacking the Western and anti-Western rhetoric. What should happen next is there should be a political consensus regionally, and for all of the Syrian groups, the government and the opposition, of course opposition members who have not wanted foreign intervention in Syria, they should sit down, preferably in Moscow, with Iranian consensus, of course, with the United States of America, and they should reach a political solution which which comes out with a power-sharing government, with perhaps Assad to lead the political system for the time being and perhaps for the foreseeable future, as who has a stabilising role inside of the country. As you comprehend the fact that if any other leader were to come in into Syria now, there would be a very big destabilising factor, which would occur and would have a very negative effect. So the positive effects that we could want out of a political solution is
for... Yeah, I got to jump in, unfortunately, out of time. I do apologise, Danny Mackey. It's good to see you.
Violence on the ground.
Thank you very much. That's Danny Mackey. Sorry, we're just out of time.
Thank you very much.
Co-founder of the Syrian Youth in Britain. Thank you, Danny Mackey. I'd also like to thank Media Relations Director at the Al Tahrir Party, Osman Bakash from Beirut. We'll ask you to come back, Osman Bakash. We're just fresh out of time. Thank you very much. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mika Batawe and the entire team in the capital, Tehran. It's goodbye.